This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Good morning, Radio Hawke's Bay and Grey Power Hastington District listeners. This morning I have the privilege of talking with Rebecca Jackson, who is a neuro-occupational therapist for Drive Ability Hawke's Bay. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Ron.
You just explain to our listeners how long you've been with Drive Ability Hawke's Bay.
I have been with Drive Ability Hawke's Bay for 15 years approximately. I took over the company from previous owner.
Right. What is Drive Ability Hawke's Bay? What's involved?
Drive Ability Hawke's Bay is one of the two providers for driving assessments for those with medical condition or possible medical condition that may impede on driving ability.
Right. So just to explain it a bit more, with my experience as being the president and having people ring me to say that they failed. So basically what occurs is when you're 75, 80, 82, 84, etc., you must see a doctor, and I believe you see a nurse that asks you questions regarding cognitive driving. Now, as a result of that, several of my members have rung me to say that they have failed their tests. Can you just elaborate from what you do then, from what the doctor then would refer them to you, what is involved from there?
Okay, so I can't make judgment for GP discretion. They do a number of different screens at their end at the doctor's clinics. That's when, if they decide that this person has a medical condition that is going to influence their driving or possible, that still meets the criteria, my role is then to complete two parts to the assessment. There's the off-road, which is at least 2 hours worth of cognitive, physical, sensory, etc., testing, and that in the end decides whether the person sits in the red or the yellow or the green category. If the client sits in the red category, then that's when we'll discuss with the client, look, it's a highly likelihood you won't pass the on-road, which is the next part, and don't waste your money for the next part. However, you know, my role as an occupational therapist is also adhering to the Code of Health and Disability Consumers' Rights. So someone has the right to say, no, I still want to be seen on-road. You know, if people are in the yellow category or the green category, they're easily put into the on-road assessment, which is another day, or upon client request.
Right. I think it might be a good time now to bring in the cost of this. So you've now mentioned there's two types. There's your off-road and then there's the on-road.
That's all the aspects of driving assessment.
Right.
And we have to cover for NZTA certain requirements, and that's to specifically for the medical team of NZTA for review.
Right. Now that the total to do this, say for example, they've passed the off-road one.
Yes.
Then they do the on-road one, yes. Which involves what?
So then the on-road is at least 1 hour with two assessors, and there is a certain certain sections that we have to cover for that. That's why it takes an hour. Someone might want to say, I only need to drive for 10-minute spells, but it's more the case we can have, you know, 10-minute spells, sure, and take breaks, but we need to cover a certain amount of detail for the medical team of NZTA. That, therefore, with two assessors, is $400, including GST.
Right. So when you say two assessors, we know that you're one of them.
Yes.
And the other one is, who's the other one?
So we have Donna Keeley.
And Donna Keeley is a?
Driving instructor.
Driving instructor. Right.
Sometimes Bruce Porter, another driving instructor.
Now, these are not at the person's call. This is all involved in your fee and your calling, these two driving instructors. I can't arrange my own driving instructor.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, because this type of assessment is specialised.
Right.
So they've had to, receive neuro-based training to assist with these driving assessments.
Right. So they're an ordinary driving instructor, but on this occasion they are then a specialist person.
They are in a specialist field.
Right, so that just covers those three things. So there's me that's failed my driving test, then there's you as the neuro-occupational therapist, then we've got a driving instructor who has to have the extra ability rather than just as a driving instructor teaching people to drive when they become the age of driving.
Correct.
Right, that's excellent. And that cost then, for those three of us per hour, was what? How much was the cost?
So the going back a step, the off-road assessment, which is at least 2 hours, sometimes goes up to four, is $300, including GST. That requires one assessor.
Yep.
The second assessment is the on-road assessment. And that requires two professionals in the vehicle with the client. That is $400, including GST.
Now, while we're still, before we go on to anything else, so I've undergone this with you, three of yous, two of yous rather, and you've then broken the bad news to me to say, Ron, you still haven't come up to the standard that which is required. What would it cost if I decided to go again?
If you decide to go again, that's most likely the on-road again. There's two different, scenarios that occur for each individual. Depends on what's happening for them. Typically, it's the on-road that needs to be repeated again.
Yes.
So it's the same amount of time, same two assessors, same report. A report's done after every assessment to NZTA and the GP. So it's a $400 cost again.
$400 again, that's what I want. Yeah.
We often say, we don't want to go straight into another on-road. If the client chooses to repeat the on-road, we don't normally recommend it. Then we may have a criteria that someone might be suffering from certain ailment with their medical condition, etc. And that's all the stuff that we do behind the scenes. We're talking with NZTA, medical team, we're talking to the GP, sometimes the optometrist or the ophthalmologist, other specialists, and we'll make a decision then when would be an appropriate time to repeat the on-road.
Right. Excellent. Now, do you supply the vehicle or can we bring our own vehicle?
We like people to have their own vehicle. It's what they're used to, of course. On the rare occasion, we'll use my adapted vehicle, maybe because someone has some physical aspect that needs compensating for. But otherwise, I've got a vehicle that has the regular brake on the passenger front side.
Right, that's what I wanted to clarify. So that's an advantage to the passenger, which would be the driving instructor that would be sitting beside myself if I was going here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Rightio. Now, just while we're there, do you make the people feel relaxed? Because the complaints that I have dealt with my members, they've been stressed out knowing they had to go through this. And then when they have failed, then they're really, really stressed. Is there any comforting from you people? Or because, again, here's someone coming to you and another person that they don't know, apart from you doing the
They've met me already on the off-road.
Yes.
So, I've always, at the end of the off-road, and upon discussion with the client, as to what the options are and what their request is,
yes,
therefore their rights.
Yes.
I always do a rundown of what's going to be done during the on-road. So I always let them know what the on-road will be about and make sure they're fully informed, therefore. When it comes time to the on-road, we always have a little chat. We need to check registration, warrant of the vehicle, all that stuff. So there's time for chit-chat before we get on the road and complete that.
Now, you've also mentioned, prior to all of this, are we allowed to bring someone to and sit in the back as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So that's very important because, so that's excellent.
And that happens sometimes.
Yes. Oh, that was going to be
my family member,
right?
Significant other in the back seat with us,
right? So, does that have to be approved in advance, or can I just turn up and say, "Look, I would like my wife to sit into the back to give me that bit of support"?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, then. So this is good, listeners. This is what you've got to take heed to, and that's why I brought Rebecca along this morning, so that she's giving it to you loud and clear. So we've now gone how long the assessment. You've explained that on both occasions. That's the off-road and the on-road. So now we've got it there that sadly I missed out, and you do a test report. So what's involved there?
With the report?
Yeah, well, first of all, you would tell me there that sadly, Ron, your driving is not up to scratch. This could have bearings on your health or mental condition, or it's a driving in which we would like you to have some driving lessons. This is why we've got the driving instructor sitting beside you. Can you just elaborate on what I've just mentioned?
Oh, you just asked what's included in the report.
In the report.
Okay. So that's just, you're asking just for the on-road.
On the on-road, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because they would have been given a report on the off-road one before, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So I've had it in writing. We've had a full discussion on what the on-road's about. So the report for the on-road includes some basic details still about their medical condition or possible medical condition. It includes how many intersections or roundabouts we went through, stop signs, adherence to pedestrian crossings and railroad crossings. We're mainly looking, because this is medical-based, we're mainly looking at the client's ability to process information fast enough. So there's another umbrella over those simple aspects of driving. That's why this is not an AA test. We're specifically looking at the person scanning as well. Other medical aspects that may define to us, are you clearly, for example, feeling how much you're pushing on the accelerator pedal? Are you seeing this lane correctly? Are you in the middle of the lane, etc.?
Right. We've covered all of that now, because I've got after the driving test, you've done that now, and we've done about being retested, and we've covered the costs. So basically, what other areas that you can assist our members if they have been referred to you. Bearing in mind that I've mentioned there that when we get to our age of 82 or 84 and know that we have to come in and see our doctor, knowing that we have to see a nurse prior to the doctor, that we're all worked up and a bit stressed, is there any advice that you can let our members know so that they can sort of feel a bit more relaxed, knowing you've really helped my listeners now by talking on air. I mean, that's just been wonderful. I've learnt a lot by listening to you today, so I know that my listeners now will understand it more and realise why this has happened to them. Can you sort of finish it off by giving us a sort of a bit more comforting towards our members?
Well, ultimately, our job is to ensure that the client is safe and the public are safe.
Yes.
So we have a job to do, and it is what it is on the day. Of course, you've met me now. I'm not the, bossiest person in the world. That's right. And and we do engage in chit-chat.
Yes.
We relax the client as much as we can. We do sometimes see clients that have high anxiety. They've worked themselves up before they've even met us.
Yes.
We can't help that.
Right. But can you advise them, is there like a couple of Panadols or...
I'm not the GP.
Right.
So if someone has issues of stress and anxiety, that's GP discretion. Sometimes that's part of our liaison with the GP and saying, look, this person was highly anxious during the off-road. I have my questions about how this person is going to present with the on-road. I'll leave that for GP discretion in terms of aiding the client to manage their stress.
When you and I met, you then said you're very busy and that your area is very sparse. Can you just explain to our listeners, are you by yourself? Is there other organisations that do this, and what your area covers?
Sure. There are two providers in Hawke's Bay, and our area covers Hastings, Napier, up to Warra, even up to Gisborne I've had to go to, and central Hawke's Bay.
Right.
As much as possible, we go to the client where they drive normally, where they're comfortable. So we're trying not to give direction to drive around strange areas. Someone might be from Waipawa. As much as possible, for example, we'll go there.
Right.
So that's our wide catchment.
Yep, yep. Now, you mentioned there that you even go to Taupo and up the Napier-Taihape Road. Is that clientele as well, or was that...
Napier-Taihape Road, yes, I was up that way just last week.
Last week, yes.
Yes, as required.
As required. All right. Well, if you have any further advice that could help, I think we've covered...
Well, I suppose it's just about... I'm being realistic.
Yes.
And being safe.
Right.
So sometimes I need to talk with people about not having big expectations. I'm passing this assessment and I've got 2 weeks to do it. Thank you very much. We need to be doing our job and really there is no grey area. It is what it is during each of those assessments that we have to complete, the off-road and the on-road. So sometimes about us talking with people and also requesting that clients think beyond driving sometimes and look at what their options are in the community. That's got a lot better in the last 10 years with services available through Age Concern, etc.
Right, yeah, that was what I was just going to mention as well. There's the Driving Miss Daisy, Monique Driving For You, that give our Grey Power members a discount. One of the complainants that I dealt with only used a car to go down to shopping every fortnight on benefit day, so therefore, you know, as I pointed out to her and her family members after she'd failed twice there, that, you know, you've got to realise that you've got a wonderful car in the garage which you could sell, and you've got plenty of taxi chits there to go just down there. And as a retired police traffic officer, I appreciate there that I also do not want to see people that could cause injury or damage to other people. So I have to support the system, but deep down I also have my own personal feelings on it. So I would like to, at this stage, take the opportunity of thanking you, Rebecca, and sharing what is involved in Drivability Hawke's Bay. And I thank you for your time, and I hope that a lot of my members adhere to what you have said and feel a bit more relaxed if, sadly, they fail their driving tests. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Ron.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.